If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Today on Misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel.
Hey there, I'm Susan Hendricks. Outside, you can see it behind me, of the Ada County Courthouse, getting ready to go inside. And this is a day that the family members have been waiting for, a chance to address Brian Koberger with the victim impact statements.
Because everyone around me was looking over at her, the sister, and then looking at him. And it felt like a tennis match, but it was back and forth, and everyone's on the edge of their seat. And I promise you, he was this close to reacting.
There is a moment in every crime story where the cameras turn off, the media moves on, and the public forgets. But the people left behind, the families, the survivors, the journalists who show up day after day, never forget. Today on Misunderstood, I'm joined by someone who refuses to let us look away, case after case. Susan Hendricks, veteran journalist and host of the new YouTube series Headline Crime, waited outside an Idaho courthouse since 10 p.m. last night just to be let in this morning. Why? Because what happened inside those courtroom walls today will go down as one of the most haunting, emotional, and unresolved chapters in recent true crime history. Brian Koberger, the man who brutally murdered four University of Idaho students in 2022, was formally sentenced to four consecutive life terms, no death penalty, no chance of appeal, and still no explanation. As families of the victims, Kaylee, Madison, Zaina, and Ethan, delivered heartbreaking victim impact statements alongside one of the surviving roommates who has carried trauma the world can't begin to understand, Koberger sat there, silent. When asked if he had anything to say, he declined. Respectfully. But for the rest of us, it was anything but respectful. It was another twist of the knife, because the question that haunts every single person connected to this tragedy still remains unanswered. Why? Why them? Why that house? Why that night? Susan was there to witness it all inside the courtroom where the grief, rage, and unanswered questions collided. And today she's here to share what the cameras didn't catch, what the media headlines missed, and why this story can't just end with a sentencing. This isn't about giving a murderer the spotlight. It's about giving the victims and the truth a final word. So let's hear from Susan Hendricks, who just left the courtroom from a hotel in Idaho, and she's joining us a second time, and I'm so thankful. She's a dear friend. I actually was at her wedding years ago, if you can believe it, but I'm so happy she chose us to give her thoughts after being in the courtroom and being so tired. So let's hear our conversation today with my friend, Susan Hendricks.
We'll be right back.
Susan Hendricks, thank you so much for joining me again on Misunderstood. Right out from the courthouse, tell me everything. What was it like?
It's so good to be here. And I thought of you today as I was covering this. And being inside the courtroom, it's so different. And victim impact statements, I will say during Delphi when I covered that, the victim impact statements, you hear it all the time. And when you're on the set, you think, okay, that's what's happening next. And they get to say something or write something down. But I've learned, and I got a text from Kelsey today that said, if you're talking to the family members, tell them I feel for them. Because it's something, and you know this, if you don't go through it, you really don't understand what they're going through. And Kelsey says, you know, I have a soft spot for siblings. And she was connecting with Kaylee's sister. So watching this, I expected it to be passionate. I knew the Kaylee's father, but I always thought that, okay, there's four families that are going through this horrific hell. And how do you align all four families, not only in how they're going to mourn, but what they're going to think? It's like, I kind of, in passing, I think about my daughter, like if someone did that to her, would I want to attack them? Or would I want to say, I have nothing to do with you anymore. You can't bring my son or my daughter back. I have a 9-year-old son. What would I do? We never know. And so maybe different families feel differently. Today, Rachel, I felt like everything was aligned because you know how there's been stuff in the news about how one family feels this way and the other family feels that way. And what the prosecution wasn't telling the families. But it felt like to me, and this stood out to me, that everyone had a meeting because the one thing in everyone's victim impact statements, as you could see it, it was live, were different. But the one continuing theme that I thought was poignant was, we're together. You can't rip us apart. It almost happened. Yeah, it almost happened. And even, I believe it was Zana's aunt, who said, you know, we had some rough spots, of course. Because, you know, I try to put myself in their shoes and think like, there'd be anger. You didn't do this or you didn't do that. Why was she there? Why was he there? And then, so she said there was anger. We're together. And I felt that with Kaylee's father too. Like, you tried to rip us apart. And that was the theme. I feel like they all met. And they all, you could tell, had an alliance together. But I feel like recently they may have all met and said, this is about this guy. Let's make him feel as terrible. Let's do this together. And it was, you're a piece of shit. Sorry if you have to bleep it out. And you didn't take us down.
Right, exactly. So as an outsider, like I got your text and basically I went right on and I was like, oh, I have to watch this. I was in my car listening to the whole thing. Yeah. And as an outsider, I will say, I thought it was crazy that he just sat there with his arms still and he didn't move. I really was like hoping he would move or cry. Was he actually looking at them, all the people that were making this?
That's a great question because the line started, and it's so weird being in news for so many years with CNN. And if you're sent to a trial, it was different back then. You're kind of sent to a trial and you get in and you sit where you sit. But now, because everyone has different channels and you can appeal to different people. And I feel like the courts don't know what to do. They're kind of behind on this. So we lined up at 10. I don't know if you know Joel from Surviving the Survivor. I've been on his show. So I see him. I'm like, oh my gosh, Joel. So it's this weird juxtaposition of like, oh my gosh, good to see you. And we all wait. And it's hours and hours and hours, but it's to get in. Do you want to get in? How much do you want to get in? And then once you get in, it's oh my gosh, there are the families. And there he is.
Were you nervous that there wasn't going to be room? Or like, was everyone?
I was. But in the past, and it's different everywhere. In Delphi, Indiana, it was, you could be in the pool of media and kind of, then you're responsible for all of the notes, but then you don't guarantee a spot in. Or you can line up, which we did. I did for 30 days. You can line up. You have to line up around 2:33 a.m. every day.
Oh, wow.
But if you're first in line, you're first in line. Well, this felt like Lord of the Flies because the court was saying you can't line up on our property. So we went across the street. And then people were saying, well, why am I across the street? And then journalists like Brian Anton, who's amazing, and different journalists are coming in as they should because the court is telling people 4 a.m. is when you show up. Well, everyone else, I got a call that says, it's 10 p.m. There are people lining up. So I go out there. It's 10 p.m. I'm like, okay, one day's into the other. So I'm zero sleep. But I'm thinking, okay, so, and Brian Enton is like, hey, you know, it's no big deal if I don't get in. I'm like, you're getting in. So it's a weird kind of the Lord of the Flies way that kind of has evolved because no one really knows what to do with all of the new media. And I think right. they should do because everyone has a voice and everyone can have a voice, but you could have two viewers and you could be filled with vitriol and not all there. I think it should be on how many viewers, maybe like how, like back in the day, if you're Anderson Cooper, you can get in.
Right.
If
right.
you have the viewers, you can get it. So
but
that's
also,
separate.
You have such a history. You are an icon in this like true crime field. So I would think that you could get in anyway.
Well, and imagine me, I am an icon. It's like, but I have seen a shift, which is amazing to see play out before me of normal TV news, mm-hmm. like what people watch, what was like, that's how you, now I look back, I think, oh my gosh. If you think about it, I follow Billy Bush. He's new on YouTube. And it's like, remember how, like, let's say you love J-Lo. You had to watch Access Hollywood to find that out. Now right. we all get it on our phones. So
yeah,
it's like.
I watch him too on my Instagram and he has this new show.
Love him.
Right. He's so funny.
Love him.
Yeah.
So funny. And he just has a way of being so natural. And someone asked him, because he does a live show now. And someone asked him, like, why did you not go back to Access Hollywood? He's like, oh, I have to be transparent. He's like, what I was being paid was going to be cut significantly. And he's like, and that's not really it. He's like, I didn't have the guts, so to speak, to do what I'm doing now. He's like, I just didn't. I didn't, because when you're-
No, because he couldn't have the voice that he has now. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I couldn't say shit, or I couldn't say this, or I couldn't say that. And I was nervous because you get so used to being a certain way on TV news. And that's what my friend Lauren, who does Hidden True Crime, who I love, she's like, you're so used, because she did local news, and she's like, Susan, I could tell you're like used to like the graphics and the this and the that. Everything has to be perfect. And it doesn't. And I love that. I love that it doesn't. I just have to get used to that. And so
well, now that we're speaking,
this is a long.
Sorry, I just want to ask you a quick question. There's so many internet sleuths, right? Just people behind their computer. And Reddit has like come out with, you know, having people just find out information about different people and cases that has helped, you know, like in that Karen Reed trial.
I'm so glad you mentioned this.
You have Turtle Boy, who was, you know, sort of just a random guy that had a YouTube channel. And
I just interviewed him. And he exactly. I'm so glad you brought this up, because therein lies the problem. It's like, well, and the courts are like, we don't know what's media anymore. They dropped it. They're like, I don't know. And so they ran for the hills. But I get that, because I wrote a book about Delphi. And I did, I will say, on Reddit, whether it was positive or negative, I could find out. Like, because I wrote a chapter on internet sleuths. It's like, oh my gosh. And I got to know Gabby Petito's parents through the years. I'm on their board now for their foundation. Joe Petito, who is the best guy ever, he said to me, Susan, you'd be shocked. He's like, I don't even know what TikTok was. 2 million people were looking for Gabby. They found the van because of them. So it's no disrespect to anyone who does that. I couldn't do it. And I think it helps true crime. But then who do you let in the courts? I'm like, do they need to expand the courts to like stadium seating? I don't know. But like,
right. Exactly.
We were out there at 10 p.m.
10 p.m. Wait, sidebar, because I want to get back to it, but talking about Gabby Petito for 1 second, did they ever find out from his parents, like, what are his parents saying about the whole thing? They're not, are they?
I remember saying to Joe Petito, and you have to have him and Tara on the show and Nicole and Jim. I mean, they all are really good friends. They golfed with my husband, Joe and Jim, they're best friends. I mean, they're really good friends. It's not just for the cameras. They're amazing and they would love you and you would love them. Did they? I remember when I first did a sit down. Oh, and this is how the relationship came about. And I feel like this is worth telling. Yeah. So I'm overworked. I'm exhausted at HLN and it's my fault. I'm staying up too late. I'm not saying no to different shows. I'm doing too much, too much, too much, too much. So they said, okay, call. Here is Joe Petito's phone number, Gabby's father, call him. And I said, okay, I'm leaving. I'll call him in the park. And I called him. I went, hello. He answered, hello. I said, hi, this is Susan Hendricks. I'm with HLN. And how are you? Will you do an interview? He goes, yeah. how are you? And I go, not good. I start crying. To Joe Petit. Yes. And he goes, don't worry about what's wrong. And I just went, I'm so sorry. But seeing Gabby, you know, I think it triggered something in all women who have known that bad relationship, and it triggered something in me. And I'm and I'm about to cry. I'm like, I'm so sorry. He goes, you'd be surprised, Susan, how many women have cried to me. And I think you should tell your truth. I said, I can't right now. But I feel, and ever since then, and their family is amazing. And I did ask him. So that carried on to me getting a sit down interview with him at his place. Okay. So the camera guys are setting up at CNN. And I said, do you think it's the dad? Like what? He goes, no, it's the mom. I go, what with the mom? You know, about the mom. And it was way before we got that burn after reading.
Right.
You know, and I'm not blaming all moms. I'm not saying it's mom's fault, but something was off clearly. And I think Gabby, in hindsight, was because they got divorced. It was amicable. They got married. Joe Petito had Gabby when he was 19. You know, and so it was everything's very friendly. But I think that she was living with Brian and probably, I mean, with the parents, clearly they didn't like Gabby. So she's probably like, okay, van life. And like right. that happened. And I think and I get asked this question a lot of why certain cases bring people in and others don't. And I remember being on a CrimeCon stage with Joe. I've known him for like 5 years. And he's wonderful. But I said, I'm going to be asked that question. He goes, I'm asked it too. And literally, Rachel, what their family's doing, and it's true. They said, we don't know why Gabby got that. Maybe because back in the day, they didn't have like footage. Now she was people connected. Either that's me or that's my daughter. Or that could be me. Connected. But he said, everyone should get the resources. So they literally go from state to state to change laws. They're literally doing something about it. So when I'm asked like, oh, is it because she's blonde and pretty? Maybe. But who controls that? It's not the news organizations.
Right. No, but it's if you're a mother and you have a daughter, you know, if it's you've ever been in an abusive relationship, if you've ever had somebody that you don't know what happened to them, you know,
yes.
It's like you're triggered by all of it. And we were all wondering what happened and if there was a chance she could be alive. And then if we were ever going to find him and, you know, it was so in it. Reminded me of the Casey Anthony story because you got access to the parents and you were like, how are you allowing this? His parents, Brian's. And everyone was like, where is Brian? Where are the answers? He was,
where is it? And why are you mowing the lawn?
Yeah. Why aren't you upset? Why aren't you looking for this girl? I mean, so there was so much anger to it and it could have been a multitude of reasons for people, but I think obviously, Gabby struck a chord in a lot of people for a lot of
And I think reasons. You and I feel the same based on experience. But a friend of mine, I won't name his name, but he's a good friend of mine. He's a producer at CNN. And he was like, he saw that body cam footage so differently than I. And he was early 30s. He's like, what? They're just going to fight. So it's almost like based on experience, what you see. And I think that that's uh-huh. what happened with the cops. And that's like, he saw something totally, I'm like, you have no idea. Oh my gosh. Not everyone's seeing what women who have gone through that see.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Anyway, so going back to today, what everybody wants to hear. About.
Oh, but to tie it in, and this ties it in well,
yeah.
I did look over at his mom. So I saw his mom. So we got
Wait,
in.
Brian's mother was there?
Yeah. Brian's mother and two sisters.
Oh my God. Does he, he has a father. Wait, what happened to the father?
He has a father. He wasn't there. The father you'll see in that footage from the car when they were pulled over for whatever reason, he's not there. So, and I'm with like people that I've now gotten to know on the line for 15 hours, but even people that I know. And so they say that's Brian's mom. So it's like, it is. And I happen
is
to be in a seat
sitting
behind,
right behind
kind of diagonal. She's sitting right behind him with the two daughters.
Okay.
What he walks in, I mean, Rachel, zero emotion through most of it, except that I will tell you through Kaylee's sister's victim impact statement, he was bothered. But besides that, nothing except smiling at the mom and waving and sitting down. And the mom and the two sisters cried at, it was the surviving roommate. There was one roommate who had someone speak for her. She just couldn't be there. I don't blame her. And this was another one. I think it was Dylan who spoke for herself. And she was just saying, clearly going through PTSD and saying, I'm wondering why it wasn't me. I'm thinking when I'm going to be next. People tell me I'm so strong. I'm not. I don't know how to live day to day. And I looked over and the mom and sisters were all crying.
That makes sympathy me for hearing you say that, actually. So, yeah. And I can't wait for you to tell me about the court. But as the listener, I just want you to know, watching, like I got your text. I was like, oh, let me turn this on. I put it on. I'm in the car. I'm listening. I'm kind of looking at my phone as I'm driving.
Yeah, yeah.
And I see all the angles. And it's the camera. There was four angles. The camera was just on him. The camera was on, I guess, the prosecution's lawyers or whatever sitting there, where you kind of saw who was standing up, but you not really. And then there was another angle of him and somewhere else. Anyway, I noticed that he didn't move. And I thought that was terrible and weird. And I was hoping that he would, because I wanted to see even him brush his hair, move his, you know, like I just wanted him to sit there and be like,
anything. You
know, anything. I just wanted anything. I was so disappointed that he didn't speak. And as I know he's a sociopath and a narcissist and all these things, I thought he would have spoken. I thought he wanted to be like, let me explain myself.
But well, I heard it analyzed by someone, and I think that that may be true. It's that, think of someone who's capable of that. I think, based on nothing but my speculation, that he went in there with Maddie in mind, and he didn't know or didn't think, because maybe he doesn't have the friends, or he wasn't as clearly, he was jealous of what she had, the spirit and what have you, and the roommates. And so he went in not knowing there'd be three others. So I think that he, if you're able to do that, if you're a sociopathic psychopath and able to do that, what I've heard, and I agree, is that maybe he's saving that for when he's in control. He wants to tell a story when he wants to tell it.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And I always feel, because knock on wood, I'm not in that position to I felt, even with Kaylee's sister, and I know she was kind of placating on how he was on Reddit and asking people things, but what stood out to me was Zanna's aunt. And she got up there and she said, I forgive you. And you know how that is. You forgive for yourself because you don't want to rot away.
By the way, I was listening to that and I wrote it down to ask you about that moment.
I forgive you. And she also said this, if you want to talk to anyone, I'll listen. Which said to me,
get my number. Yeah.
She wants answers.
Yeah. Right.
They all want to know because they all think, like, what are the last words? And I remember with Joran Vandersloot and spring break, when she doesn't come home, and you and I both have daughters around the same age. If someone did that, would I want to know her last words?
Right. And the mother just wanted answers for all those years and was like, I'll do anything just to get the answer. Anything. I don't even want you in jail. I just want answers.
Anything to where it clicks over.
Yeah. So when I tuned in, it was, and I'm not sure whose family it was still. It was before Kaylee. It was the family before. And they were not going to give him a name. We're going to talk about, they were thanking all the police and the FBI. They were thanking the court. They were all very calm, cool, and collect, not giving him any attention, not giving him a name. Then you get to Kaylee's family. And I hear the sister, like you're talking about, the older sister. And I was weeping in the car. It's going to make me cry.
Yeah. I was in there weeping. I'm like,
yeah, masterclass in how you give a public
masterclass.
Yeah.
That's what I said to her.
All of a sudden it turns to him, to Brian. And she says, here are the questions that scream in my own head, which, by the way, if it was me in that position, I would have turned to him and been like, how could you do this? How could you take this person from
me? Yeah, me too.
Everybody up until that moment was very, like, calm, cool, and collect, not even giving him a name. And she was like, this is about truth. And I want to know the truth. And here are the questions I have for you. Hopefully one day he'll answer them. She was so cool. And then I think it was the mother that came out.
Amazing.
Amazing. And by the way, the best statement too was from the little sister who didn't come up there, but the mom spoke for her. And she said something about, you may have gotten A's in school, in class, but you're going to get big D's in prison, which I thought was hysterical.
And I love that too.
Yeah.
But I will say her sister did. So that family, they got together. They're like, okay, we have no choice. He's pled out. He's not going to get the death penalty.
Yeah.
Let's work as a team. This family's different. We're not going to turn our backs. Because maybe, I often think of my son, and I think of the Chapins, they don't want to be there. They weren't there. I've gotten to know Stacy the most. love that family. They didn't want to be there. I don't blame them. But different families feel differently, right? So you never know how people are going to heal. So what if I decide I need to know, or I'm furious. I need to know. And that's how I felt. But I've seen Steve so many times in interviews, and today was the first day I met him in person, but it was, I finally saw an exhale in him. I really did. I really did. And guess when I saw it? After the daughter. It's the only time I kept looking over to see, is there any reaction? Is there anything? Nothing stoic. And I'm also looking at the mom, like, how is that your son? And you don't, anyway, I do not blame them, but so I digress. So when that sister was saying, which every word felt meticulous, I felt like she worked on that for a month, and it was genius. And it was basically saying what we've all heard in the news reports of how he treated his students and how he was self-important and how he felt grandiose and how he felt important and how he nitpicked and treated people. And what he was so fearful of, being regular, being nothing, is what he is. It felt like, because everyone around me was looking over at her, said the sister, and then looking at him. And it felt like a tennis match, but it was back and forth, and everyone's on the edge of their seat. And I promise you, he was this close to reacting. You could see he's clenching his jaw because someone's calling him stupid. And to me, clearly, he hates a lot of things. He hates women. When the men got up there and spoke, it was different. It was, he killed what he despised, yeah, which was happiness, in my opinion, without being a psychiatrist. But it was clear to me. And it even may be like a slight move of the jaw or a slight move back, because he doesn't move. So right. Then anything that he does, he was affected. It worked. So then we got a 10-minute break, and I see Kaylee's sister and father. And I went, oh my God, that was amazing. That was amazing. I said, that's a masterclass. And they seemed happy for, because you're able to finally think about all the months that you have to bite your tongue.
And I even don't know about before affected. Then, but that seemed like the first moment when people started clapping. For people's
sleep. Yes, it was. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you heard a lot of people clap throughout. But so,
I did okay, too. I'm so, on the media side, like, we're clapping.
Right. Yeah. So was he actually looking at the people talking?
Nothing. I have a feeling like, I looked over at him. I'm like, my son's 9. He was 9 at one point. He must have played with cars, or he must have laughed, or he must have gone to the movies, or what the hell? But whatever he is now, the sociopathic psychopath, he has nailed that. Like with Delphi and Richard Allen, he was like, even if it was fake, looking back at his wife, I'm set. This guy, not
a blame. But did he look straight ahead guy. Or he ever, did he ever?
Straight look, ahead.
Never looked at the people talking to him.
Only time he looked over is when his mom walked in and he smiled at her, and that's it.
Wow.
But Kaylee's father turned the podium at him. That was amazing.
Right. And then I also found it fascinating. I think it was during Zanna that her
yes.
father or yep. somebody got up there and he said, I want to change the conversation to Brian and what he's ruined for his life.
Yes.
And his parents and what they
that
were willing
to do. Zanna's uncle.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
And I thought that was super powerful. And I wondered how that hit. And I thought that changed would hit him.
That shifted because everyone's at the edge of their seat and we're up all night and it's a bunch of, and it shifted the feel. It's like, oh yeah. And you looked over at this. I did feel sorry for the sisters because I remember the sisters during the search, or maybe we heard after that someone's like, wait a minute. My brother, the younger sister is like, has that car that they're looking for. Is it him? And if you think he's capable, there were some major issues. But looking over at them, their lives are over too. Those two sisters and the mother, they never would think.
And,
right.
And the statement that they made, not just they're going to lose their son, their brother, whatever. It was that they're now associated with this murderer, with this disgusting yes. loser that they call him. And forever they will be known as being a family member of this guy and how that's going to affect them. I wondered if that seem to affect the family. I mean, do you think that they still love him and they're proud of him? I mean, there are some family members that would totally cast aside their...
Well, the father wasn't there.
Yeah.
because a friend of mine from the line, no, but I met him at CrimePon, and he's a newspaper guy, and he's awesome. And I just said, that's not the dad. He goes, no, I think it's representation either. There was someone who wasn't making a move. He's an older gentleman. I'm like, that can't be the dad. But then you could tell that there were the sisters and the mother, and the mother had a hearing aid in, and she was very upset during a lot of the victim impact statements, seeing her son just throughout. And all he would do was look over and give a smile and a wave to his mom. And that was it. And I think that people are fascinated, and I am too, and will be continue to be fascinated by this. It's looking at someone like that, even like a Scott Peterson or a Chris Watts. It's like someone who doesn't look like a monster. They rarely do. I think he does now, but I think if back then, when this happened, you could say, oh, he's awkward, he's smart, he's what have you. There are no warning signs. It's like,
yeah.
How would you ever know that that guy? I think about my college experience. I lived with three other girls. We left our door open. There were people in and out all the time. And so that could happen to anyone. And what I feel like was so devastating to me, and I can't pick really one over the other, but who I think needs the most help right now is the surviving roommates.
Oh, yeah.
Like that.
Well, and also, you know, what is confusing me is that I feel like I've been hearing chatter that like people are almost angry with them. Some people.
Oh yeah, they were for a long time.
But and that I don't get it.
Added fuel to the fire.
And their survivor guilt has got to be terrible. But why would anybody blame them or be mad at them? I don't.
Well, understand. I think immediately I understood the noon wake up. If you go to college and you're in college and you're out. And you're drinking and you're like, I don't know. It's not like you're in your 30s and you're everyone has jobs where they have to get up early. It's like, right. Okay, they blame them because they wanted answers. And I get that because of what I saw in Delphi. You only release certain things. There's gag orders. And then it's the speculation and then the conspiracy theories and then the clicks. And then not everyone's like that. There were some legitimate questions. And speaking of Delphi, I want to say this, which it just shows. Today I was looking at Twitter and I saw Kim Goldman, Ron Goldman's sister, yeah. Right? Thank you so much for airing the victim impact statements. And I retweeted it. It's like, because it matters to show that the pain never goes away. And Kelsey right after said to me, this Libby's sister in Delphi said, if you see any of the families after this, tell them I send my love. And I said, oh my gosh, because we're friends. We've known each other a while. And I said, oh my gosh, Kaylee's sister. And she said, I have a soft spot for any sibling. Because yeah. Nobody knows what Kelsey's going through. Nobody right. knows except Kaylee's sister, except right. Kim Goldman, except people who are gutted by the loss of their sibling that won't come back. So I think it was important and it means something. It does. And I saw that in Delphi. It was the first victim impact statement court hearing that I've gone to. And it's also called sentencing. But I saw how much that helped. I yeah. saw Libby's cousin, Josh, who was her same age. Oh, my gosh. In his 20s. And I saw him printed out. And he's like, there's a special place in hell for you. It matters. It's like what you would think if, knock on wood, someone hurt someone you love. Like what you would say to them or what you would feel. And I think the Kaylee sister mastered it.
Mastered. It was the best. I mean, listen, it was... It had me in tears.
It worked.
He said all the things.
He got to the psychopath.
I thought that you would have wanted to say, but she did it in such a calm, cool, and collect way. She had mastered it because she had clearly worked on it for a long time. And every word was so well articulated. And by the way, you know, just being in my car, I was crying. I was shocked that a lot of these people had done so much work on this, that they were not up there blubbering mess. The one guy I do remember, I think it was it Kaylee's dad, her blood father, her biological father, who had struggled with addiction. And
that was Maddie's father.
Okay, got up there. And that made me really sad and made me worried for him because he talked about how she was like the only good thing in his life and he had struggled with addiction. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, he's not here very long because this has got to be so traumatizing to him. If he had, you know, worked on his addiction before, this is going to be every reason to fall back into it. And what does he have to live for? I mean, this poor guy, it made me really sad for him. I thought about him a lot today.
And you know what else I thought about? You're absolutely right, Led. But I feel like, I do feel like that the families together, because that they will help him. I feel like he'll get that support to say, hey, we're all hurting. You men, even men can talk to us and say they don't want to be here. They're hurting that bad. I felt that was Santa's father, because there was so much love. They're stepfathers in situations as there is. My daughter is a stepfather, my husband, Joe. And oh my God, I'm gonna go. I'm on no sleep too. But it was, I think Zana's father said, he said, I almost stopped by that night. I almost went by the house. So we blamed, and to say lock the door or went there. So it's kind of like, if I went there, what would have happened? Or could I have done this? Or could I have done that? I mean, and I think obviously I would want answers. And I wonder if it's that elaborate or that entailed. Like, was he stalking them? And would that make a difference? Like, let's say he was, I think he clearly despises women and was stalking maybe Maddie, but I don't know for how long. And if we knew it was long, I think the why fills in some blanks that the family members want to know. Like, what were her last words when the sister said that?
Right.
I'm like, what were Maddie's last words?
I hope that one day there is an answer to the why. I hope, you know, I know that a couple of them said, you know, I hope you do not give any platform to this guy to have any answers. I hope he is just destroyed in prison. But I do hope the family gets an answer of why, because even if it doesn't matter, I mean, it doesn't matter at this point because they're gone and it's not going to change anything.
Yeah.
You want to hear the last words. Yeah. You want to hear why he did it. It just brings a little bit of closure. And even as someone who went through, you know, my fiance being murdered by terrorists, if I ever got to find out his last moments, what he went through.
And 9/11, for those who don't know.
Yeah, but those last moments of what he went through, it matters. Because for 6 months, I mean, I knew he was dead, but they didn't actually call me for 6 months and say, we found his body now, he's officially dead. And the most important thing for me, I need to know the cause of death. I needed to know if he was burned. I needed to know what it was. And it was blunt force trauma. So that gave me solace to know he fell with the building. Something hit him. You know, it wasn't like he was burned and he was hurting. You know, it. So I just say that knowing.
That makes it. I just learned something so important for me that I would have never understood without you telling me that. That makes sense. Because I always wondered, like, why. Would that help? But it would, because you want to know.
Their last moments, almost like you were there with them. Like, okay, I could be your witness for that moment and know what happened. And I think if I were the family, to me, that would be really important. So, you know, I get it. I get why some of them said you are nothing to me. And then you hear that aunt say, Zana, I think, say, get my number. Call me if you're ready to speak, because I want to be your friend and I've forgiven you. I hope to God he takes her up on that. I really do. I really do.
So do I. And I think maybe he'll have all the time in the world to do so. I hope so too. And what also stood out to me was Zana's dad on the flight here said he heard a little girl say, dad, 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 dad. And he heard Zana's voice. I mean, it's just not, it's a loss. He killed four kids at the like who were happy. Think of that age range. Like, you're happy and they loved each other and they were kind kids and they came from different backgrounds and they had different experiences, but they all loved each other. And this evil person comes in but I do feel like with Kaylee's father that he said he messed with the wrong family. I was taking notes and I think he's right. He's right.
That is when the moment turned in the courtroom, for sure. From an outsider, at least. That's when I was wow. So did someone show up? Because maybe I just wasn't online for this. Did someone show up from everyone's family? Was Ethan's family represented?
No, Ethan Chapin's family was not. And Stacey Chapin, I met. It happened. It was a little less than a year. And I reached out to her. We connected on Instagram. And I invited her to CrimeCon because I thought this is the only reason I invited her, because it sounds like, if you're not familiar with CrimeCon, it sounds weird, but it's, I knew based on my experience there, meeting the families in Delphi, that she would heal. I didn't know heal. I didn't think that, and who am I to say who's healing? But yeah, what I thought was, oh, if she could meet Becky, because I saw an interview and I went, if she could meet Becky, this would be good. And if she can meet Kelsey, this might help. Oh my God, I'm so tired. And so I got to know her and she said that, like, she wasn't even sure she'd go to the tribe. So she's like, we love our son and like, we don't want to see him. So for her family, and it's different than Kaylee's family, it's like, we don't want to confront him. It will never bring our son back. So we want to heal separately. And that's great. I think that everyone's different and you shouldn't all be tied together with the same process.
Right.
Oh, and she posted, and I put it on Instagram. Oh my gosh, a picture of her son. He looks to be about like six, Ethan, with like this, doing this.
So they didn't.
Okay,
have,
take two.
They didn't have anyone even write something and say something. They just.
Well, they did go to the plea agreement. It was the plea deal with hearing, which happened recently. So that was recently. Okay. And that was Stacy, her husband, and Ethan was a triplet. And so it's Maisie and Hunter and Ethan, and they recently graduated. And I remember I reached out to Stacy and I just said, how are you, thinking about you? And she showed me the invitation to her kids' graduation party. And she said, I can't. And when I did meet her and I got to know her, and my husband came with me to that CrimeCon and really got to know Stacy. And it's like, we had texted throughout the years, and she just said that, she realized, she said, of course, it was devastation for like a few months, but she had to be a mom to her other two kids.
Others. Oh, that's, I never even thought of that. Yeah, absolutely. Wow.
That she couldn't just like give up. And you could tell what they remind me of is, it's funny. It's like, I was listening today with Kaylee's parents. I'm like, I want them on my side for this. It's like, you get to know them as different families. And with Ethan's family, it's the family you want to go to for Christmas. Like, they're just fun. They're fun. They like, the kids loved each other. The last text that Ethan wrote they're triplets, Hunter. He's like, and even Maisie, like, hey, you coming over? It was hours before. She's like, no, I'm going to stay here. And this is what stood out to me. And I think that's why I reached out to Stacy. It was an interview that she did with someone local in Indiana. And she told the reporter, she said, me and my husband dropped our kids off at college. They all went to the same college. And we looked over, we high-fived each other. So we did it. They're great kids. We did it.
Yeah.
I mean, and that is what happened. And they got together. And, a recent documentary that's out that I watched, I think it's on Amazon Prime, where this was heart-wrenching. The father, Ethan's father, said, you know, we were on our way with his ashes to the burial, like a gravesite, and it was cold and it was just raining, and he's like, we can't do this, we can't leave him there. He said, leave him there. And he's like, so he's in his room, and when one of us passes, then he'll be with us. And it's like, oh my God. So it's like, your heart's ripped out of your chest, and it's like, whatever you guys can do to survive and however you decide as a family.
Totally.
So,
because
I think they just didn't want to see him again. I think that hearing,
it was useless to them.
Yeah.
I mean, and people can't understand.
I mean, you wonder,
like, to lose a child and how you would feel. And so everybody obviously grieves totally differently.
And I shouldn't be hysterically crying, but it's different being in there and seeing it. And, but there was a woman next to me. I will say this. I've met a lot of nice people. And she said to me, you know, I've been through a lot of trauma in my life, and I see Kaylee's sister, and I feel like I can get through what I can get through. And I said, you just explained, everyone's always asked me what the true crime draw is. You just explained it. It gives women, I think, strength. I really do. Like, if you can get through this, then I can get through this. And if I connect with you on this, then you can connect with me through this. That's the human condition. But I think with crime, it exacerbates it. It's like, wait a minute, if they can get through this, then, oh my gosh. And maybe that's why I connected, if I were to be honest, why I reached out to Stacy, like, and why I surround myself, like, why I feel good about doing that. It's right. like, okay, if they can get through this.
Yeah, I totally
And agree. That's the good part about it.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, today, Brian Koberger was sentenced to 4 consecutive life sentences for the 2022 fatal stabbings of 4 young kids. Do you feel like this ties it up in a bow and it's over and people are moving on and he's getting locked up and the keys are getting thrown away and it's over? Or do you see that there's going to be a little bit more that happens with this case?
Well, I feel like he's not, and it was weird hearing him talk because he was asked if he would like to say anything. And he said, respectfully, no. I'm like, really? But no, I don't. I think that the families are still, some of the families going to want to know why. And I think he maybe did this for the exact reason. I'm going to listen again to Kelly's sister's statement to him because everything she said was right. It's like exactly what he did and why. But I think there's so many questions. It's like, why did you do that? And I don't think it's over, but I feel like they were able to finally, because this happened in November 2022. And you know that picture we all see of them? I think it's Maddie on someone's shoulders. And so they're all together. It was 12 hours later the murders happened. I'm curious to how, and I think I know the answer, how he's able to survive in prison. I think he's going to survive just fine. I think he's just cold. You see nothing. And I don't even feel like it's fake. There's just nothing there. It's odd. It's odd to see.
Well, I guess we will hear what happens. And I guess they said something about how he had 45 days, something like that, in case he wanted to. I guess he waived his right to appeal, but he had 45 days to do something.
Yeah. Yeah, because it is by law a constitutional right, and they quote a case law that I can't quote, but it's no matter what, you have the right even to appeal a guilty verdict. I don't see him doing any of that. In fact, I think he adapts well in prison. I think it's almost like the Bundys, who as long as they get to talk about himself, but he's a little odd. I don't know if I necessarily believe, or maybe I just heard this through the various reports, that he was an incel. Because the latest documentary showed he would go up to women and say, like, hey, do you want to go hiking or do you want to go out? I don't feel like he was this, like, and I think that's the fascination. It's like, that's always the question we ask, nature or nurture, and how is this person made?
Right. You
know, it's like, what happens? Because there's a lot of guys that get rejected, I'm sorry, and they don't turn into psychopathic murderers.
Of course.
It's like, what was he jealous of? Were there signs? That's what I want to know.
It'll be interesting to see if a documentary, I mean, obviously someone's going to make a documentary. It'll be interesting to see if they get his parents to talk, which by the way, is the only way that they should make a legitimate documentary, to see what he was like as a kid, what the parents think. And then if it'll be interesting to see if he tries, you know, if he tries to talk from prison and gives the why. So,
yeah.
Or if he ends up speaking.
Because there are ones, as you know, there are ones from the victim's standpoint, and it just tells the story of who they were. But right, from his story, they have to tell more than just what happened that night.
Yeah, because we all make it up in his head, in our heads, that he's just the psychopath.
And Rachel, you know. I think it's the sister who knows. You know how you know more about your siblings than your parents know about you? I feel like, what did you see? I want to know from her. I want to hear from her. Because when they were looking for his make and model of the car, she was saying, could it be him? She said that to her family. And if you say that, you know, like, tell us what you know.
Right. Then you knew
that's what I would want to hear from her.
All right.
And I kept looking over at them and they look normal. And you're like, what did you see? Right.
Yeah. Right. Amazing. Well, it's amazing that you're always at these fascinating, courthouse hearings, that you're following these trials so intimately, that you get to know the parents. So when are you heading back, and what is your next trial what is your next case?
I'm heading back tomorrow. I'm heading back tomorrow. There's no set trial that I'm going to, as of yet, but there are cases. So there is CrimeCon, and that's happening, in September that I'll be at. It's in Colorado this year. And it's a Delphi, panel with me to say he was found guilty. And it's more of the, crowd in Delphi. I'm sorry, in Colorado, that wants to hear from them because they followed and helped throughout. Even before I knew the families, they went to.
By the way, now that case was closed, Do you believe it was handled properly and the person that's in jail is the person?
Yes, 110%. Yes. Yes. And if it, but I understand, I do understand the questions. I absolutely 100% because there was a gag order. It was the perfect storm of like, you can't tell this, you can't tell, say that. And I understand how it may have been perceived.
Yeah,
I do. I absolutely do. And if someone's on the fence about it, they should watch, come to CrimeCon.
And what other stories are you following that you're fascinated with?
It is funny. It's not funny, but it's the, I always feel like, and you can kind of see where this is going, but I feel like there's some cases that I'll, that people will always be fascinated with. It's mm-hmm. the JonBenet Ramsey. It's the Maddie McCann. I think it's the kind of unsolved
yeah.
of what we, could it have been that person in the house? Could it have been that? It's the mystery that keeps people going, the unsolved crimes.
Yeah.
The unsolved crimes of where people think some family has it all. Like, yeah. how could that happen to them?
Right.
You know how you hear it, like, it looks like they had it all or whatever that means.
Right.
So
I was so obsessed.
Those are the cases.
Shanann Watts case.
Yes.
That, you know, I'm so glad that finally they figured out it was him, but that it was Chris, I guess is his name, the husband. And yeah. it seems to always be the husband, right? Or the wife killing the husband.
I know.
But
and I want to say you never get away with it. Just get divorced. It's like right. bizarre.
Right. I always joke with my, I'm engaged now and I'm always joke with my
Aww.
Fiance that, you know, until I'm in the will, don't think that I'm going to try and kill you. But once I am, you should check for the antifreeze levels. And the
Right. Because that's our world that we're like, it happened. And you're thinking just what right. is happening?
And it's always the antifreeze yeah. in the drink at night or, you know, whatever, or the ice
yes,
pick.
And
or,
it's bizarre.
Yeah.
And it's, and as a society, we don't forgive any of it, but we're almost like, okay, that's an episode of Dateline. But when, and going back to like Idaho, when it's for college kids for no reason, like there's yeah. no animosity, you're just killing joy because you hate women or you hate happiness. It's, yeah. it's something as a society we want to figure out. And I wonder if we ever do. We'll right. see. I don't know. But I hope he talks, just what you said. I hope he takes her up on that, Zamazan.
Well, Susan, we always appreciate you being on the show. We always appreciate
Rachel.
Listening to your takes on everything. You can watch and listen to Susan Hendricks on her new show on YouTube called Headline Crime.
Brand new, Headline Crime. Yeah.
Yep. And it's out every week. And where else can people find you if they want to get a hold of you or look at your stuff? And tell them about your book.
I'm on TikTok. I think I mortify my daughter, but I'm on TikTok, Instagram, X, you name and, it, I'm there.
And your book, where name the book and where people could get it.
Down the Hill, My Descent into the Devil, Murder in Delphi.
Amazing. Okay.
It's a mouthful, but yeah.
And they can get it anywhere they get books.
Yeah.
Amazon, everywhere. Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Susan, thank you so much. I'm sure we will have you come on during the next trial. If the Menendez yeah. brothers get released,
yes, something I'll
you're
be there.
Be all over.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well,
because I knew them from New Jersey. It's bizarre, but one of them went to high school with my sister in Princeton. So.
Oh, no way.
I'll be there.
All right. So we'll have to have you on for that.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.